It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you after this long Waitangi weekend?
Morena, Rachel. It was great. Two long weekends in a row, and a little bit quieter for me this Waitangi weekend because the Waitangi events at Hauani Waititi Marae or Kahu Bay and Manukau were all cancelled because of concerns by iwi that there may be further developments in the COVID-19 cases. Fortunately, that didn't happen. So it was precautionary, and we understood the position of iwi on that. But it did mean that I, instead of having a day that involved all three of those events and a pretty long and hard day in the sunshine, I had a pretty quiet day down the beach, so I'm not complaining.
Sounds like a nice way to spend a long weekend. And yes, there has been a bit of concern and a lot of cautious behaviour taking around that, but we've been lucky to see no further spread, so that's good.
That is really good. But you know, I suppose we all live with the knowledge that you're one step away from, you know, no system is fail safe. And it can happen. We've seen it happen, you know, Western Australia quite recently, Melbourne again. So we've been a combination, I think, of good fortune and probably good management, but we still just have to be incredibly cautious about that until we're all vaccinated. And that so that means that we're probably looking at the till the end of the year before we're in a much safer position. Mm. And then there's the worry about, you know, whether this new Zeneca vaccine deals with the South African variant. So we're not out of the woods yet, but no, we still celebrate each day that we're in a much better position than anybody else.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening over on Waiheke Island at the moment. There is a rahui that's been put in place by Ngāti Pāua, who are the iwi of Waiheke, and this is kind of to protect some declining species around the island. I think it's four particular kaimoana species that are on the point of collapse, so not good at all. What's the council doing to support this rahui?
The local board has moved a notice of motion, and that will come to council, and I'm anticipating that council will be supportive of it, as indeed I am. The four species are crayfish, scallops, pāua and mussels. And it's one nautical mile around the coastline of Waiheke Island. What the Ngāti Pāua do is that they've applied for a rahui under the Fisheries Act, and the Ministry of Primary Industries will consider and consult on that. I know that already there's been some public meeting on Waiheke, and there was overwhelming support for it. The Waiheke local board plan was fully consulted, and that talked about actively promoting the development of marine protection strategies. And a survey that I think was done, it was quite a while ago, back in 2015, showed actually two-thirds of the residents of Waiheke were in favour of more marine reserves being established. And I share that view. At the moment, 0.3% of the Hauraki Gulf is under marine reserve protection. That means a no-take area. And I think, you know, with those species and others under real threat, it's in our long-term interest for the sustainability of our fishing resources to provide greater protection. Mm. And I think that will also involve an approach to the Minister of Fisheries and Oceans, who also happens to be the Minister for the Environment, David Parker.
Do we think it's going to be a difficult thing? Because it is quite a way of life over on Waiheke to be able to go fishing just, you know, on the weekend, on the afternoons. Do you think it's going to be a bit of a community effort to try and change those attitudes for the time being?
Look, there'll always be some people that will want to fish to extinction, you know, that's dumb in my view. We want to preserve these species, not just for ourselves, but for coming generations. And that means that we have to comply with requirements to ensure that we protect and allow those species to regenerate. What happens, for example, I was looking at it over on a little barrier a couple of weeks ago, where you, for example, wipe out the snapper and the crayfish, that means that kina flourish because they are food sources for the crayfish and the snapper. When the kina flourish, They then wipe out the kelp beds that then remove the environment where crayfish and snapper and other species can come back. So you effectively have deserts around the island. And I looked through a camera on a University of Auckland fishing boat, fishing research vessel, and you look down into the water and there is absolutely nothing there except kina. That's, you know, hundreds of kina. We can't afford for that to happen. We have to think about future generations. And, you know, I love fishing, and I love my shellfish, but we have to have constraints on the taking of it so that that taking is sustainable, particularly as our population increases. That's simply common sense.
Let's talk a little bit about the changes to legislation that are coming in into effect. This was announced by local government minister Nanaia Mahuta to the way that Māori wards are established. And this is going to be very significant for local governments all around the country. Can you, first of all, let's just start by talking a little bit about what is a Māori ward and how does it function in a local government setting?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's the equivalent of having Māori seats in Parliament, which have been there for, 140 years or more. And that is where people of Māori descent or part Māori descent can opt to go on the general role or the Māori role. And the proposals that a whole lot of councils have been looking at would apply the same sort of criteria to the local authority. So when Auckland was set up, the Royal Commission actually recommended that, but it was not accepted by the government of the day, and they set up an independent Māori statutory board, which gives representation by Māori iwi on our committees, but they're not directly elected. And it seems to me that what's good for the central government should be totally appropriate for local government. And the difficulty that we have had, all councils have had, first of all, unlike any other representation proposal, it's got to go, if there's a petition raised, it has to go to a referendum. Mm-hmm. That doesn't apply to any other aspect of our representation. So for some reason, they single out Māori wards as being different. And Nanaia Mahuta's legislation, I think to be introduced this week, simply removes that discriminatory fact. If we were to go down that track, there's another obstacle for Auckland Council, and that is, unlike any other council in the country, we don't have the authority to determine the number of council wards. Every other council in the country can say, we want this level of representation on our governing body. For some reason, Rodney Hyde stripped Auckland of that right, and that meant that if we introduced a Māori ward, we would have to strip a general ward out, and that means that we'd have to redraft every boundary for local wards in the city, right across the city, and they would then mm-hmm. come out of alignment with local boards. So we've asked the minister also to give us the right to increase by, in the case of a Māori ward, I think on the formula that's currently set out there in legislation, would give us one Māori ward to increase the number of wards from 20 to 21, or to take the requirement off it. I don't think we'd want to increase by more than that, frankly. But I think, look, it's always good to have people at the table, and at the moment we have Councillor Alf Filipina, whose mother is Māori, and who is a strong voice on behalf of Mana Whenua. But we've had difficulty in getting Māori ward representatives on, whereas we have got Samoan representatives, we've got a Chinese representative. But to make our council as reflective of the society that we represent as possible, I think is a good thing.
Let's talk a bit about water, because that is our ongoing thing. Like COVID, yeah. we come back to it all the time because it is a bit of a crisis in Tāmaki Makaurau at the moment. We're getting a bit of rain. That's good to see. We're also getting a new water supply in the Papakura Dam, and that's going to be 6 million litres of water coming into the city as of last week, I believe. How is this going to work? Where does that water actually come from in the first place?
It actually comes from my farm, some of it. The Papakura water treatment plant was decommissioned 15 years ago and never put back into supply because it was antiquated and it didn't do the job. The water quality was poor and we had enough water from other sources. That is no longer the case, and, you know, much as we love this long summer, you know, the Met service once again hasn't quite delivered on what it promised some months ago. We haven't had the rain, although I woke up this morning to the sound of rain coming down and quite a heavy shower this morning at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock this morning, and I live out by the Hunua, so that was good news. But the forecast is still for very dry conditions. So what I said to Watercare is that I wanted every source of water supply that they could tap into brought into production, so that we did not have a situation where we ran out of water and we had to close down industries or restrict severely restrict water supply to households. So we put aside $250 million, just under $250 million, and of that, $68 million went into the construction of a new water treatment plant at Papakura that works off the Hayes Creek Dam. Mm-hmm. Now, that opened the day before Waitangi, not officially, but it went into production the day before Waitangi Day, and it's currently producing 6 million litres of water a day, and ultimately that will increase to 12 million litres a day. Because the water quality was so poor, we did need a brand new water treatment, and it's a state-of-the-art water treatment plant. I won't go through all the technical stuff, but it works for everything from, you know, carbon filters to membranes to ultraviolet light, it's part of ensuring the resilience of the supply to our city so we don't run out. We're currently on 61%. We're dropping by about 0.2% a day, but on all projections, we should still get through to the point when the big new water treatment addition to the Waikato River at Tuakau comes on stream, I think at the end of May, and that will produce another 50 million litres a day. But Aucklanders have continued to conserve water, so we're not utilising water at the rate that we did last year, and we've already got, you know, 30, 40 million litres a day extra from what we're taking from the Waikato, what we're getting out of aquifers, and so on. So hopefully, more than hopefully, we're on track to get through it, but they're now talking about this summer drought going on much longer. So, you know,
we'll just have to keep being conservative about our water usage.
Please don't waste your water. That's, if we do it right, she'll be right, as they say in their ads. So let's keep doing that, Aucklanders. And that and the big investment that we've put in this financial year, nearly $250 million, will create a more resilient water supply for the immediate future.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Phil Gough. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday, where we won't be having a long weekend, but that's all right.
We've
been pretty good for them so far.
5-day work week.
Have a lovely one. We'll see you later. Bye.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
Certainly.